2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people," speaking about the Jews, the nation of Israel, among the people. There were false prophets that got in there. Also among the people, "even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Peter mentions here these false teachers, false prophets in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, now in this time in the churches, false teachers. So I want to talk about these false teachers. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless our study of your word this evening and help us to learn and help us to be equipped to stand for the word of God in a day when there's such an attack against it. So fill me with your spirit is my prayer with all my heart. I ask that you would speak through me. I yield my will anew this hour. Pray you take me and just use me to help us in this matter. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a hot topic today. It's AI. Anybody know what I'm talking about? AI, artificial intelligence. And I don't know a whole lot about it. I have a rough time just with real intelligence, let alone artificial intelligence. But the way I understand it, and some examples I've seen of pictures that AI is able to produce. And the thing that caught my attention about it was how believable the artificial intelligence can make something that is not true, how it can make it believable. Follow what I'm saying? And they had different pictures of people, presidents and people that are celebrities maybe, and in situations that you knew were absolutely ridiculous, but it looked so real. I understand that artificial intelligence now is able to mimic people's voices and take an image of a person and have them portrayed in ways that is total fiction. It's a counterfeit of reality. Artificial intelligence, I put this down, artificial intelligence can make believable and realistic images that are not true. Can make believable and realistic images that are completely false, but make it appear so real, so true. And what I'm trying to suggest is this: counterfeits are nothing new. Portraying something false as if it is true is as old as humanity. In fact, we go, if you would, keep your place here. I want us to look at a few verses tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would come there with me. Now keep your place in Peter, we're going to come back, 2 Peter, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I know our subject for some, if you're in the adult Sunday school class, our subject it's being repetitious because the book of Jude and 2 Peter chapter 2 are almost identical. I mean, almost verbatim some of the statements they're making. They're both dealing and addressing the same issue of false teachers getting in the churches. And so if you're in Sunday school and you're here at Sunday nights, it's going to be a little repetitious, but bear with me. If the Bible repeats it, I feel like I need to repeat it. And so we're just working our way through here. But notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's warning them on the same subject, and almost every book of the Bible warns against false prophets and teachers. And he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They're not apostles of Christ, they're false prophets, but they look like they're of Christ. They act like it, they sound like it. Look at verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." They're not ministers of righteousness, but they present themselves as if they are. They're not preachers of the truth and teachers of the truth, but they present themselves as if they are. Whose end shall be according to their works. And so counterfeit teachers and false prophets and false preachers are nothing new. In fact, false teaching is what plunged humanity into sin. When Satan, in the form of the serpent, approached Eve, and he got her to question God's word. Yea, hath God said. It was a blatant attack on the integrity and reliability of God's word. Yea, hath God said. And then they dialogue there a little bit, and we won't take time to go back. It's in Genesis 3. And he makes two false statements to Eve. Let me just throw this out. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies, Jesus said. And he says to Eve, he says, thou shalt not surely die. Now God had told them, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Satan lied. That was false teaching. Question, did Satan know what the truth was? Yes, he knew exactly. But he presented a teaching that was contrary to the truth of God's word. That's false teaching. In fact, he made a second. He had two statements he made that were false teaching. One, thou shalt surely die. And then he said, thou shalt be as gods. If you eat that fruit, you're not going to die. And you'll be just like God. They were both lies. You and I are not like God. We are created in his image and we were given life by God. But we are not gods. And when the Mormons come around and tell you and me that we can, if we be a good Mormon, we can someday be a God, that is false teaching. So humanity was plunged into sin through believing false teaching. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 4. So right from the beginning, false teaching has been a danger. Has been a very effective tool of Satan right from the get-go. In Matthew 24, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they asked him about the end times, about the return of Christ. Matthew 24. And they said, what will be the signs of your coming? Matthew 24. Did I say that right? What did I say? Matthew 4? You guys aren't listening carefully, I don't think, or something. Has to be somebody else's fault. Matthew 24, and they asked Jesus, what will be the verse number 3 there? Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And so Jesus answers them, and he tells them what will be the characteristics at the end of the world. Now, when man was first created, right from the beginning, there was false teaching. Immediately, false teaching from devil came in, plunged man into sin. Now he's talking about the other end of the chronology, the other end of man's time on earth. And he said, what will be the characteristic of the end times? Notice, I think this is interesting. Notice what Jesus says, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Is that true? Are they Christ? No. And deceive many. Come down, if you would, to verse 11. Jesus continuing his conversation with his disciples. He says, and many, look at this, false prophets, the end times, a sign of at his coming at the end of the world. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Look with me, if you would, at verse 23. Then, if any man shall say, speaking about the last days, the end times, before the Lord comes, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, what are you supposed to do? Believe him not. It's false teaching. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. And by the way, that's why we ought not to get caught up in some of the signs and wonders movement going on with certain circles of Christianity, because Satan can counterfeit signs and wonders. So you have to be very, very careful about that. He says, with and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. So here's the picture. Back at the beginning of mankind's, right after creation, false teaching comes in. Very, very effective. Has a profoundly negative effect upon humanity. Time goes down. We're coming to the end of the world. We're coming to the end of time. Christ returns, set up his kingdom. And they said, what will be the signs of your coming? What's the world going to be like at the end of the world? And the very first thing the Lord says, and he repeats it over and over and over, there's going to be deception, there's going to be false prophets, there's going to be false teachers. So, Peter says, there'll be false teaching there. There'll be false prophets. Now, if you would, come back to 2 Peter. Let's look at this verse and dissect it. I broke it down into three thoughts. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. My first thought is this, the certainty of false teachers. The certainty of false teachers. Notice he says there in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, the Jews, nation of Israel. Look at this. Look how he words it. Even as there, what's the next word? Shall be false teachers among you. Not might be, not could be, not there's a possible danger of this. He says very emphatically, there shall be false teachers among you. The certainty of false teachers. No ifs, no ands, no buts. There shall be false teachers among you. Israel dealt with most of their history, at least once they settled in the promised land, most of their history they had to deal with false prophets coming in constantly. And they were just lying through their teeth and confronting the kings. And you'd have a true prophet of God, and then you'd have all these false prophets. And their message, by the way, their messages were very, very different. So Israel had to deal with false prophets throughout their history. And now in the church age, for 2,000 plus years, churches have been dealing with false prophets. It's not maybe, there might be some, not there could be. It says there shall be among you, he says, to this these believers, among you, there's going to be false prophets. The certainty of false teachers, false teachers. Now the question comes up, what does he mean when he says a false teacher? What is a false teacher? Is it someone maybe that is ignorant about a truth and they're teaching something out of ignorance that's not true? That would be, and I'm maybe splitting words here, but think with me a little bit. I would say if somebody is ignorantly teaching something that's not true, that would be false teaching. It might not necessarily be a false teacher. You follow what I'm saying? They're not. It's not deliberate. It's inadvertent. They need more training. They need to be taught. Apollos, I think, in the book of Acts was true. They pulled him aside. Or was it Aquila and Priscilla? One of those. Where's my Bible scholars at here? And so they had to be pulled aside and taught correctly. A false teacher, on the other hand, false teaching could be done out of ignorance. I have, on occasion, over the years, coming up on 40 years preaching, I've made statements out of ignorance that I later on realized I had to come back and say, whoa, wait a minute, that I wasn't correct on that. I need to straighten that up. Very rarely. But false teaching is one thing. False teachers are something else. A false teacher in the biblical sense is someone that knows what the truth is. They know what the Bible says. And they deliberately twist it to meet their agenda or to support their preconceived doctrine or support their or to pad their pocketbooks. Huh? I'm telling you, it's very real. And it's more prevalent than you realize, particularly on the media. These TV, social media preachers will twist a message and convince tens and hundreds of thousands of people that they need to pad their pockets and they'll use scripture to try and advance that agenda. You follow what I'm saying? That is false teachers. that deliberately press an agenda that is not supported with Scripture. A false teacher is one who deliberately promotes false teaching, unscriptural teaching. False teachers are a very real threat to the church. I'm here to tell you, it's a very real threat. It is a perpetual threat to the church. I think we got a good church. I think we try to be very, very careful that what is taught here is taught, is supported by Scripture, is lines up with Scripture. We're very, very careful in our Sunday school, in all our ministries. We're very, very careful. That's why we want everybody to bring your Bible with you. Check it out. Look at it. Study it. Don't ever believe something because Leatherman says it so. Believe it because the Bible says it so. But it's perpetual. It's a very real threat. And we have to constantly be there. Somebody made this statement. They said, few things are as wicked as someone claiming to speak for God when in reality they're speaking for Satan. Let me restate that. And I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. Few things are as wicked as someone who claims to speak on God's behalf, speak for God, when in reality they're speaking for Satan. They're claiming to preach the truth when in reality they're preaching lies. Lies. There's a lot of threats to the local church. The world is a threat to the local church. The world mentality, the world's values, the world's principles, the world's priorities have saturated so many Christian churches in our day and age. It's a very real threat. Persecution is a threat to the church. And we know nothing of that really in a practical way in our land and now at this time. May change, could very well. But I'll tell you the most insidious threat, the most dangerous threat, is false teaching from within. False teaching from within. So the certainty of false prophets, it's not if, not maybe, that he says they shall be among you. They will be there. And so we need to understand that. Number two, look at the verse. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now look at this. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, I want us to consider the characteristics of false teachers. The certainty, they're there. We have to deal with it. We have to watch out. It's very real. The characteristics. Peter gives three characteristics of false teachers here in this verse. He elaborates later on through the chapter on some other ways, but he makes three statements here. He says, there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Number one, they're deceptive. They're deceptive. A false teacher never walks in the church and says, all right, everybody, I'm a false teacher. They don't do that. Jude expands on this, and Peter does a little bit later. They come in very privily. They come in deceptively. Boy, they look, and talk the talk. Boy, they yuck it up with everybody. They get involved in everything. And they're bringing in damnable heresies. They privily... They're deceptive. The word privily means to sneak in on the side. Kind of step in the side there. It means to enter in secretly or craftily. So I was studying the word and how it's used and different background of it a little bit. I got this word picture in my mind. I got this mental picture of privily coming in of a magician. And a magician will have somebody there and they'll have a sheet they'll pull up and they'll have little hidden doors where somebody will disappear and someone else will come in or they'll slip out aside or they'll be in a box and there'll be a little escape door, a little hidden dropout door that go down below. And that's the idea of these false teachers privily coming in. Boy, they're sneaking in through hidden doors, so to speak. It's kind of this idea. They'll take some scripture, and man, they can sneak in there some false teaching and some unscriptural teaching. And you, if you're paying attention, if you know a little bit, you say this: how in the world did they get that out of that verse? How in the world did they come to that conclusion from that verse? And I'll tell you, the real tragedy is so few Christians will question when somebody sneaks in a false teaching into a clear scriptural passage. And it happens all the time, all the time. How in the world did they get that? Where did they come to that conclusion? That's not what that says. That's privily coming in. So they're deceptive. They can make unscriptural teaching appear so scriptural. And they pull it out of a hat, so to speak. So number one, they're deceptive, the characteristics of false teachers. Number two, they're damnable. Now that's a strong word. I'm a little uncomfortable just saying it, but it's scripture. And he says, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. That word damnable means utter and eternal ruin. Utter and eternal destruction. In other words, they're bringing in a heresy, a false teaching that leads to the eternal ruin of those who receive it. Teaching heresy that leads to the eternal judgment and wrath of God. Sneaking it in, and damnable heresies. I said this, I think, in Sunday school and may have in other messages. But I'm telling you, God takes scriptural doctrine very, very seriously. And we start playing with the truth of scripture and start twisting that around to mean and say things it does not mean and it does not say. I'm telling you, God takes that very, very seriously. And he says it's damnable. It is under the wrath and judgment of God. They sneak it in. Teaching that hinders people from coming to Christ, faith in Christ. Any teaching that will keep people from coming to trust Christ as Savior is a damnable heresy. Any teaching that says you got to be baptized to be saved, that's a damnable heresy. Any teaching you got to work toward and you got to live a certain life and earn your salvation, that's a damnable heresy. Bible's clear, salvation by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. So any teaching that hinders a person from putting their personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is a damnable heresy according to Scripture. Any teaching that influences people to live a life, any teaching that hinders a Christian from living a life of faith, draws them off into sin, draws them off into ungodly living. And brother, I'm telling you, that mentality is saturating churches in America and around the world today. You can just live it up. Oh, you can just live however you want. No, God has a standard of right and wrong. And anybody that presumes to stand up and teach and preach the Word of God must teach and preach that right is right and wrong is wrong. And anything contrary to that is a damnable heresy. God takes this very, very seriously. So number one, they're deceptive. Number two, they're damnable. Strong, uncomfortable word. But number three, they're deniers. Look again at verse number one. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. And then he makes this next statement. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Denying the Lord that bought them. The word deny there means to reject, to disregard, to refuse. I'm going to reject the Lord. Their teaching rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Refuses. Disregards it. So what are they rejecting about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we could say they're rejecting the deity of Jesus Christ. John tells us if anybody comes along and denies the deity of Jesus Christ, that we're not to bid them Godspeed. We're not to invite them into our home. Now, we're never told to be unkind. We're never told to be rude or arrogant to them. but we do not let them influence us. We do not listen to their false teaching, anybody that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Denying the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that his death is not enough to save my soul. I need to do something else. I need to add to the work of Christ some work of my own. That's denying the atonement of Jesus Christ. Denying the authority of Jesus Christ. Deniers. We had a lady, and I don't mean to project this on her, but we had a lady years ago. I was preaching on Sunday night, and in my subtle, kind, sweet way, something in Scripture. And man, as soon as I was done, she was sitting down here around where Jennifer is. As soon as I said amen, man, she got up and stomped. I mean, out the back door, wham, boom, zing. And I thought, well, okay, that's interesting. So Thursday night's visitation time. She had come in the morning and gotten saved and came back Sunday night. She was all excited. She was going to join the choir. She wanted to do everything. And we're like, praise the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful. Okay. And then that happened. So Thursday night came around. We had our little visitor card. And me being the fearless, brave pastor that I am, I sent my wife out to go visit her. Said, go visit this gal. See how she's doing. And she went and visited her, and Kathy came back, and she said, well, she said this, that preacher has no right to tell me how to live my life. And I would say this, you're right. I have no right to tell someone how to live their life. But as a teacher and preacher of the Word of God, I have an obligation to preach what the Bible says we should live our lives. And she rejected that. She rejected that. And we have a huge portion of professing Christianity that is rejecting what the Bible says is right and wrong, particularly in this area of sexuality. That is false teaching. Anybody that says you can change your gender, that is false teaching. Anybody tries to suggest that the Bible is okay with same-sex marriage, that is false teaching. You can't get any clearer than what the Bible makes it. So these false teachers privily sneak in. Their teaching is condemned by God. And they deny Christ. They deny the morals and standards of the Lord Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ. Later on, we'll see in this chapter, they deny the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually in chapter 3. They deny that he's even coming back. They don't just ignore these teachings about Christ, they deny them. They're not ignorant of the teaching, what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. They deny it. They know what the Bible says, and they say, we reject that. Notice it's, here's a little interesting aside. Notice it says, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, but he doesn't stop there. He makes a little statement that is profound. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Question, how did Jesus buy anybody? Yeah, with his blood. You know what Peter's saying? These false teachers that have damnable heresies, these are unsaved people. And Peter is saying that they're denying the very Lord that bought them, the Lord that paid for their sins. Are they saved? No. But their sins have been paid for. All they need to do is repent of their false doctrine, their sin, and come and trust Christ, and they're freely forgiven. Now you say, well, what's the big deal about that? The big deal about that is that refutes the Calvinistic teaching of limited atonement. Limited atonement in the Calvinistic theology says that Jesus only died for the elect, only certain people that are going to believe on him. That's all he died for, and he did not die for the unsaved. And the Bible is very, very clear. Jesus died for everybody. And anybody can be saved if they'll come in faith, trusting Christ as Savior. So here, these Christ-denying false teachers, Jesus already paid for their sins. Now, it's not applied to their account. It's not going to be effective for them until they put their faith in Christ, but it's already been paid for. So the characteristics, they're deceptive, they're damnable, they're deniers. And last of all, notice in verse number one there, the conclusion of false teachers. What does this all lead to? How do they end up? Notice, he says, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Swift destruction. In other words, they perish suddenly. Before they know it, their life is over. They're perishing in hell before they know it. How many people thought it would take longer for you to get to this point in your life than what it has? Man, it goes by. Man, it goes by. Days, months are like weeks, and weeks are like days, and days are like hours. Before they know it, they go out into eternity as a false teacher. One sure way of bringing God's judgment on someone is to hinder others from coming to Christ. Jesus rebuked the disciples sharply when they wouldn't let the mothers bring their children to let Jesus touch him and bless him. He rebuked them. He says, for of such is the kingdom of God. They were hindering people from children from coming to Christ. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees sharply in Matthew 23:15. He says, you're making your disciples twofold a child of hell by their works salvation and their self-righteousness and their judgment and condemnation of others and their hypocrisy. He says, you're leading others to hell. And he rebuked them sharply. He said, woe unto you. God help us to never, ever, ever hinder someone from coming to Christ. The way I behave and my testimony, how I act, God forbid that I would behave myself and act and talk in such a way that would keep others from coming to Christ. God forbid that we would neglect little children bringing them to Christ. We cannot be negligent in this matter of false doctrine. We have to be on alert. We cannot let our guard down. I put it this way, we cannot get doctrinally sleepy. We got to be alert. We got to be alert. And defend the truth of Scripture. And declare the doctrines of Scripture. Not the doctrines of Dennis Leatherman, not the doctrines of Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church, not the doctrines of even the Baptist denomination, the doctrine of Scripture. Now we believe our doctrines line up with Scripture, but Scripture is the authority. Amen? Father, help us to be alert. Help us to be vigilant and sober. We know our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seek to destroy. I pray you'll give us the grace, the awareness, Lord, the vigilance to guard the truth of Scripture. I wonder, with our heads bowed, eyes are closed, I don't know how God may apply this to your life, but I wonder if there's some today say, preacher, I don't want my life, the way I talk and say, things I say, how I behave myself, I don't want it to hinder other people from coming to Christ. I want to be a magnet for Christ, drawing people to Christ, not repelling. And you say, preacher, I need some areas, maybe attitudes or actions. I really need to straighten up because I don't want to hinder anybody. Anybody feel that way? Anybody like that? Yes, I want God to help me and use me. Sure, we feel that way. Who wouldn't? Maybe there's some need to say, preacher, I need to be a little more diligent student in the Word of God so I can see and know if something's not right. I can catch that and not fall for it. Any like that, I need to be a better diligent student. Sure, sure. Father, bless our invitation now, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, heads are